Won't you turn your Bible to the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 8. Thank you, Anthony, Mark, Lauren, and Gina, and all the gang for playing and singing that extra verse. Luke chapter 2, we're going to begin reading in verse 8. And if you found it, would you stand and honor the reading of God's word if you're able this morning? Now there was in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all those things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Father in heaven, thank you so much for this joyous Christmas morning. Because you live, we live. Because you died, we don't have to die forever. We live forever with you who trust in you. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to take our place on that cross. Help me to proclaim your truth this morning in the power of the unction of your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for that person this morning who's never trusted you as the Lord and Savior, that today that your Holy Spirit would so grip their heart that they would turn and trust you and be born again in the family of God and know heaven is their home. We give you praise for all you do in our midst, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. And amen. You may be seated. I want you to ask yourself this morning, this Christmas morning, what you have seen and heard this Christmas season. Have you watched the 6 o'clock news and did you see strife and chaos, or did you see sheep without a shepherd? And when you went to go and do your shopping, did you see only hordes of people in stores and all the crowds and the hustle and bustle, or did you notice the worried expressions on a lot of people's faces? And they're worried because maybe they don't have enough money to pay the bills or to afford Christmas, or things are going wrong in their family. Maybe they've lost their job. Their hours have been cut back and they don't know how they're going to make ends meet. What did you hear this Christmas? Did you hear only the blast of Christmas carols and music, or did you hear the silent signs of the lonely and bereaved that may be dreading Christmas because the loss of a loved one in Christmas only magnifies their loneliness? I want us to look at the shepherd's story this morning because it's a story from the past, but it's a story for the present. It's a story for the future. I want us to look at it this morning. We've read it so many times, we've heard it so many times, but I want you and all of us to let its message seep into our heart this morning. I want you to notice the first thing here. They heard the message. Here the angels come to them that proclaim to them, "Do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people." What was that message they heard? One that fear was vanquished. It said, "Do not be afraid." The shepherds had to be terrified. You stop and think about it. They're out there on a lonely hillside outside of Bethlehem, watching over their sheep, keeping their flocks. It's night. They're watching to make sure that no wolves or any animals come in and try to kill one of the sheep and drag it away. And all of a sudden, the whole heaven opens up with bright glory, the glory of God, and all these angels are there. They had to be absolutely terrified. They were afraid. You know, men have been paralyzed from fear all the way back to the beginning. I did a little search in my Bible software. I looked up the word afraid in the Bible. I found it occurred 216 times. And then I did another search and just put feared. It occurred another 60 times. Then I just put fear in there, and it occurred 367 times. In other words, 643 times in the Word of God, it talks about fear and being afraid of men doing that. You know, it all started in Genesis chapter 3 when Adam and Eve sinned. And God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam hid himself. And he said, "Why, Adam, have you hid yourself?" And he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid." And I remember reading in here in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 17, 18, John went there and he sees the Almighty. He said, "I fell at his feet as dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said to me, 'Do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore.'" See, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. He said, fear is vanquished. Do not be afraid. You know, sin has brought pain into our lives, and we fear pain. I don't like to even get stuck with shots. Can I get amen? We fear suffering. We don't want to suffer. We don't like to suffer. We fear it. We fear death because it's an unknown. We don't know about death. You know, we look and see as Christians, you know, we shouldn't fear death because we know we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ when we die. But what we fear is how we're going to get there. How we're going to die. When we're going to die. Or am I going to suffer? Am I going to experience pain? How will I die? In Luke chapter 1, verse 30, the angel told Mary, "Don't be afraid." Matthew chapter 20, the angel told Joseph, "Don't be afraid." Let me ask you a question. Are you afraid of dying? If God were to tell you this morning that you're going to die this afternoon, would you have fear in your heart? Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, 15 says, "Inasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he himself, that is Jesus, likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy them who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." Men were afraid to die till Jesus died for us. Now he lives to give us life evermore. Luke chapter 10, verse 19, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost." If you're here this morning, you're lost without Christ, you don't know him. He came to die for you, to save you, even this morning. But to who was the message given? I want you to look at this here. It says, "For unto you is born." Notice something. It's a universal message. It says to all people. He says, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He said it was a message to all people. Even the lowly shepherds, you know, they were the outcast of the outcast. The shepherds didn't even get to go to the temple to worship because they were dirty and mangy, and they had to stay with their sheep. They couldn't go up to the temple for the sacrifices and the Passover. They had to stay with the sheep. They were outcasts. They were considered unclean, and they missed worship all the time. And Jesus comes to those people first, sends the message to them. That tells us the message is for all people, all of us here, all outside there, all around the world. Jesus Christ came, and that message, "Do not fear," is to all people. And it's a personal message. Unto you is born this city, the city of David, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus came for them, but he also came for you and me. But notice something else, not only to all people and not only to you and to me personally, but it's a comforting message. A Savior. What's entailed with that Savior? We're going to look at that in just a minute. But let me ask you a question. Does Christmas bring you great joy? Or does it bring you pain and heartache and loneliness and anxiety and fear? The angel was proclaiming to them, you don't have to live in fear any longer. See, fear has been vanquished. And then peace has come. Good tidings to all men, peace. You know, our world defines peace as just the absence of fighting. We have peace accords, peace treaties, peace agreements, peace this, peace that. And all it is just a temporary absence of fighting. That's the world's definition of peace. You know, you've read in history the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. It only lasted from like 27 BC up to 180 AD. That's a span of, you know, about 200 and something years. But then it ended. And it did little for the heart Today's peace that we see in this world does little for the heart of man. We may sign an agreement or a treaty or a peace accord or whatever you want to call it, but we know that it's a temporary thing, because how many of those times do those things only last for maybe even a few hours? But God proclaims peace, goodwill toward men. Do you have peace this morning? Do you have peace in your heart that if you died today that everything was all right between you and your God? He created you. He gave you life, and he wants to save you to give you eternal life. The shepherds heard the message. It's a message for all of us this morning. Peace has come. We don't have to be afraid. I want you to notice something else. They saw the Messiah. What did they do when they heard the message? They go and investigate. They want to see. Verse 15, so it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. You know, it was true to the prophecies. This Bible is full of prophecies. You know, I've read there's 44 direct prophecies to just the birth of Jesus Christ. He was to be born of the seed of the woman. He was to be born of the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was to be born of the tribe of Judah. Isaiah said he would be born of a virgin. Daniel said where he was to be born, or when he was to be born. Micah was to proclaim where in Bethlehem. Isaiah said he would be heir to the throne of David. And the psalmist said he would be the anointed and eternal one, just as foretold in the Bible. And they saw him, Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. They saw him as Savior to take away our sin. Did you know sin was judged on that cross? When Jesus died on the cross, he died for the sins of all mankind, me and you. Whether you've trusted him or not, he died for your sin. And he wants to give you eternal life. You will receive his free gift of salvation and his forgiveness by turning from yourself and turning to him. Do you know that all the prophecies that talk about the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's just as many, if not more, talk about his second coming, that he's coming again. Do you know the second time, though, he's coming as judge, not as Savior. Listen to what Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man, that is Jesus, whom he has ordained, whom he had given assurance of all this by raising him from the dead. Jesus came as Savior this time, but he's coming in as judge. See, if you don't receive him as Savior in this life, you're going to meet him as judge in the next. They met him as Savior. Let me ask you a question this morning. Which way will you meet him? If the Lord comes back, will you meet him as Savior? Or you wait till he comes the second time, or maybe you die and you face him in judgment at that time. Will you meet him as Savior or as judge? Which way will you meet him? I hope and pray that you meet him today. If you don't already haven't met him as Savior, that you do this morning. But notice something else. Not only true to the prophecies, but true to the proclamation. No, look at what he says in verse 15. See this thing which the Lord has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known to us. Verse 17. Known the saying which was told them concerning the child. Verse 20. All the things they had heard and seen as it was told them. True that a proclamation of the angels, they went and saw that God's message was true, that a Savior had been born in Bethlehem, and they saw the babe lying in the manger. You know, it doesn't matter what the liberals think. They saw him true to the prophecies and the proclamation. Let me ask you a question. Has the Lord made himself known to you? Has he made himself known to you in your life through answered prayer, and by giving you a new birth in Christ and birthing you again through his Holy Spirit, that you're a child of God? That's the proclamation, the good news of the gospel. True to the promises. You know, God had promised the Messiah, the Christ would come. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah goes on 7:14. He says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. This week there were some preachers, around in America, well known, that kind of discarded the virgin birth, that it wasn't really that important to Christianity. I beg to differ. I beg to differ wholeheartedly, because let me tell you something. If you don't have a birth, virgin birth, you have Jesus being born of a man, giving the seed of Adam, which is a sinless nature. Jesus Christ didn't go to the cross as a sinless person. Then he is not a perfect sacrifice. We don't have a Savior if he wasn't born of a virgin. It's fundamental doctrinally to the salvation that we have, that Jesus was born of a virgin. Now, how does that work? I don't know. The Holy Spirit overshadowed him, overshadowed Mary. She gave birth to the Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember what that angel told Mary? With God, all things shall be possible. I don't understand that, but I believe it because I know it's true. The Holy Spirit has birthed it in my heart. Notice the three things, that the terms they use for Jesus in verse 11. For is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Savior. That word means deliverer. Already in the very first proclamation that Jesus is going to be born in this world here, we see the cross. A Savior who died for our sin. We see Christ here, the anointed one, the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's prophecies. We see the third term, Lord, which means sovereign God, one who is to be worshipped and served and adored. You know, I did another little study and I found that this is the only verse in all the Gospels that put all three of those terms together concerning Jesus, Savior, Christ, and Lord. You know, the Old Testament saints looked forward by faith to the promise. The New Testament saints look back by faith to the promise. We look back at what Jesus did. We look forward to what he's going to do. Amen? They saw him true to the promise, and we shall behold him. Do you look forward in fear or in faith? Are you looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Hello, he's coming. We need to be ready. Notice, too, they shared the miracle in verse 12. That the babe was wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And they went out in verse 15. And they began to talk about it. Verse 17 says, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. Verse 20, it said, then the shepherds returned, glorifying, praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard as it was told them. They couldn't be quiet. They had to go tell. They saw this miracle, and that word sign there is, really means an indication, especially ceremonial or supernaturally, a miracle, a sign, a token, a wonder. They went and saw the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. Notice they didn't hesitate. You know, that's our human nature when we hear something to hesitate about it. This morning, I hope and pray when this invitation is given to you, you don't hesitate. You don't, that you'll come and say, I need Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and you won't wait. Because when you wait, the whole heart gets cold, begins to harden. See, putting off seeing Jesus must not be one of the things we wait on. Do you have faith to come to him this morning? You know, David didn't slay Goliath until he went out on the battlefield. Peter didn't walk on water until he got out of the boat. And they never saw the baby Jesus until they went as it was told them. Let me tell you something. You'll never see Jesus until you step out in faith and trust him. So let me ask you a question. What's Jesus calling you to do? Let me tell you something. You'll never know it until you step out in faith and trust him and believe in him. You'll never know Christian growth unless you trust him with your whole life. Notice they shared the miracle of the Savior. You ever experienced this miracle of Christ being born in you, hope of glory? Are you sharing the message that you're a child of God and others need to hear and know him too? Notice as I bring you good tidings of great joy. That word, that phrase, good tidings, really just, we get our word evangelized from it. You know, even the angels were sharing the first gospel there with them, and they made widely known. They couldn't help but tell it. If you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, sometimes you just can't help but tell, amen? And they shared the miracle of his salvation. You know, Jesus can change a heart. Hello? Jesus can change a life. Jesus can take away our fear. Jesus can give us peace and joy when we come to him and trust him. Notice something here. in the gospel, it said the words joy and rejoice are found repeatedly in the original story of Christmas. The Virgin Mary exclaimed, "My spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior," in Luke chapter 1, verse 47. When the angel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, he promised, "You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice," Luke 1:14. When Elizabeth met Mary and heard Mary's voice, she said, "The babe leaped in my womb for joy," Luke 1:44. When the Magi saw the wondrous star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy, in Matthew 2:10. And the angels brought the shepherds good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I want to share with something this morning. A friend of mine shared with me this week. And I don't normally like to read stuff, okay? But I want to read you an excerpt of what they sent to me. I want you to listen to it. It's the account of two friends who were out Christmas shopping last week. Said, "We were both hungry and couldn't decide where to stop to eat. And in a split-second decision, decided to eat at a small Thai restaurant near the mall. So we sat down and ordered, and between the waitresses running back and forth, there was also a man who had waited on us who was clearly the owner of the business. After finishing our meal, we told him it was very delicious, and I stated it was hard to get good, authentic Thai food, but this tasted the best I had eaten here in the States. He was very appreciative. So then I asked the famous question that could go horribly or wonderfully wrong. Where are you from? His reply, "I'm actually from Laos." Many people don't realize that most Thai restaurant owners are Laotian, not Thai. After a few minutes with no help from myself, that is how it usually works and should work, our new friend, whose name is Pat, took a different turn with the conversation. He began to talk about American prosperity and how his desire to work to help others, not himself. Quote, "If you have a new Mercedes," he said, "don't come here. Don't give away all your things. I don't want to see you." He told us of a time when, as a small child, he ate dirt just to get some nutrition, and his family had no food or help from anyone. Then he mentioned the Thai king, the monarch of Thailand, who had reigned since 1950 and passed away just a few months ago. For the people of Thailand, this was a great loss. They revered their king, almost worshipped him, and as far as I know, many areas of the country are still in mourning for the beloved ruler. Festivities and celebrations were canceled. Many have worn black for months. Even billboards with advertisements were painted black in honor of his life. It was just a few weeks ago that some signs began to be painted gold to begin the process of welcoming a new king. To most Americans, our comprehension of this honor and reverence is limited, but I knew enough about the situation to understand the weight of the recent event. So when our new friend stated, "What did this king ever do for me?" I was a bit shocked, to say the least. He said, "I don't understand why anyone loves this king so much. He didn't give me his food. He wasted his food, and his palace was beautiful while I lived in the village and ate dirt." The man had a solid point and began to speak of other monarchies, the British royal family and so on. And after 5 or 10 minutes of just listening to his story and his concern, in stepped my father. "What king gave me anything?" he said. "Who helped me with food and shelter?" he asked. "Kings do not help the people." In my mind, I knew the answer. If I'm honest, I hesitated for a minute. I knew the mention of Jesus would draw more attention in the little restaurant than I wanted. But I knew of a king who did so much more than my friend was asking, and I had to tell. The whisper came, tell him of the king. So I began, "But Pat, there is but one king who is perfect. His name was Jesus. He came into this world and he gave us everything. My king, he didn't give us just his food in his palace or his clothes or his health. He gave us his blood. He gave us his life. There was one king and only one king that ever came down from his throne. That is Jesus. 1,000 times in history, a babe has become a king. But once in history time did a king become a baby. Have you met this king? His name is Jesus. And he came to save us from our sin. Would you pray with me this morning?" Biggest question of all this morning is, do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Has there come a time in your life Whereas the Bible says you repented of your sin. You turn from trusting yourself and trying to live your life your way. And you asked Jesus to save you and forgive you. And you trusted him as your king with your life. And when you did that, something happened in your life. The Bible calls it being born again. You became a new creature in Christ, and old things were passed away, and all things become new. And he sent his Holy Spirit to dwell within you, and now you have peace with God. You have the assurance that one day when this life is over, you will know eternity forever with him in a beautiful, wonderful place called heaven. Do you have that in your heart? If you don't this morning, Jesus paid it all. He did it all. He left heaven. He left the throne. He came down to give you and me eternal life. He came down to save your soul. If you don't know him this morning, right now where you are, you can just say, Lord Jesus, I know I'm not right. I've messed up my life so many ways. I've made so many wrong decisions. And I've basically kicked you to the curb and not wanted you in my life. And I realize that's wrong. But you love me and you died for me and you want to give me your best. So, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart. Forgive me and save me. I give you my life, Lord Jesus. Save me, I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, did you pray that in your heart and you meant it? Did you ask Jesus to save you? Well, let me tell you what the Bible says. It said, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Did you call on it? Did you mean it? Were you sincere? If you did, you have his promise. And he says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God had raised from death, you shall be saved. For the mouth, confession is made in salvation. With heart, man believes to righteousness. Just a minute, we have this invitation. If you prayed and asked him to save you, just come and confess with your mouth to me that you've trusted Jesus this morning. It'll be one of the greatest days of all of our lives, but the greatest day of your life. Become a child of God. Maybe you didn't pray it as I went through it, but maybe you want to come and just say, preacher, I do need to be saved. I want to be saved. Show me how to be saved in God's word. I will do that. If you're a Christian this morning, you be praying as we give this invitation, praying for those here that don't have that relationship with him that they need to. God would give them his peace, his joy, his forgiveness, that they would know his mercy. Because there's none of us righteous, no, not one. There's none if not sin and come short of the glory of God. Well, no matter where you've been and what you've done here this morning, you're no different than any of the rest of us. The only difference is that we've trusted Christ and he's forgiven us. You can be forgiven this morning. Just come as in faith leads us during this time of invitation. You need to come.